Welcome to the Warriors of Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. Warriors of Grace is about helping men from generation to generation become gospel men in private, in the home, in the church, and in public through the Word of God. Now for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
Welcome back to the Warriors of Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this show. And today, we're going to start a brand new series, guys. This series is titled Prayer and the Sufficiency of Christ. And this is episode number one, Intro to Prayer and the Sufficiency of Christ. And, you know, as we start this series, I think it's important to talk about why. Why are we doing this series? And the reason is we are living in a time when the idea of prayer as some sort of mystical thing is so prevalent. And so what I'm hoping in this series to help you guys do is to ground your prayer life not in mysticism, not in self-help, not in, you know, new age thinking, but to ground you in the Word of God. You know, the Puritans and the Reformers, what they had in mind when they taught people about prayer was to ground their prayer life in the Word of God and in good theology. And so we need as men to do that today because, well, let's be honest, the proliferation of self-help and feel-good theology is so much on this topic. It's something that greatly concerns me. And so we're gonna spend time working our way through the Lord's Prayer. We're gonna work our way through other texts, and we're gonna talk about what do these texts mean, first of all? And how do they impact our life in Christ? But also, how do they shape our prayer life as men of the Word? And this is so important for us because, you know what? Our prayers should be biblical and they should be faithful to good theology. This is where theology, I would say, is put to the test. When you pray, are you praying just whatever you want, whatever comes to your mind? Or are you praying according to the Word of God? And that's what we need to do. We need to pray according to how God has revealed himself in the Word of God. So, I got 4 points today that we're going to talk about. One of them is this point that I'm mentioning now. The first point is God is sufficient in and of himself. And this is so important as we come to the topic of prayer because God is sufficient. He has no need of us. And yet he made us in his image and his likeness out of the overflow of what theologians call his inner Trinitarian love. The love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Genesis 1:26 and 27 tell us very clearly, let us make man in his image and likeness. And God did this out of the depths of his love, the love of the Father, the love of the Son, and the love of the Holy Spirit. And what that means is God is sufficient in and of himself. When God says in Exodus 3:14, I am who I am. He is saying that he is God. And that means that he, in and of himself, is sufficient of himself. He has no need for us, and yet he still made us in his image and likeness. And what that means is that we can trust him. It means that we can take his word to the bank. And that also leads me to the second point. We need to pray because we have need of God. Since God is sufficient, we need him at all times. He is the one who upholds the world by the word of his power. He gives us life and breath, without which we would cease to exist for one nanosecond, not to mention the fact that he upholds our lives in Christ, without which we would not be held secure by him, and we would drift away. But here's also the thing. We need God, and we express our need for God. One of the ways we express our need for God is in our prayer lives. You know, I don't know about you, but myself, I can be very self-sufficient. I can think, I got this knowledge, I even have this degree, I have this experience, I've read thousands and thousands of books, I'm good. But you know what? Here's the thing about that. That's pride. That's pride. What prayer does is it humbles ourselves before God. That's why, again, in 1 Thessalonians 5, as we'll see, we're commanded to pray at all times. That's why Scripture, Jesus told the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane to watch and pray. It's too easy to be lured and be distracted, especially in our cultural moment that we're in. And because of the impact of so much of the ideology of our day, it's so easy to be distracted, not only by social media, by other things, and to never pray, but also because of the influx of so much worldly philosophy. This is why when a guy comes to me and they ask me, they tell me about what's going on in their life, I just ask them, how are you doing it, availing yourself of the means of grace? Meaning, how are you doing in your own time, personally, in the Word and in prayer? How are you doing in leading your family in those things? How are you doing at going to worship? And I'll tell you that the overwhelming answer that I get from guys that I talk with is they're not doing well in those things. And the overwhelming majority of them know that they should be doing those things. And this is why we need to talk about these things. This is why we're doing this series on prayer and the sufficiency of Christ. Because you might listen to this and you might think, Dave, I already know this. I've got this down. But how are you doing in it practically? How are you doing in your communion with God? How are you doing it, availing yourselves of the means of the grace of God that God has prescribed for the well-being of your soul? Are you just giving into the distractions, into the workaholism, the things of this world? And so you're feeding and you're feasting on those things of the world rather than truly feasting on the privileges and the benefits that are yours because of union with Christ. It's a question. And it's a question that you really need to answer, men, because today we are faced with so many challenges. We are faced with challenges on almost every side. We need to pray because we have need of God. The third point is one that I'm going to camp on, and I'll end with the fourth point. But the third point is this: as men, our theology should drive our prayer lives, not our prayer lives, our theology. For those of you that don't know what the word theology means, it's simply a word that means theology, that means the study of God. God has revealed himself in the 66 books that constitute the Word of God. 39 in the Old, 27 in the New. These are the Word of God. The reliable, the trustworthy, the sufficient, the clear, the binding Word of God. The inspired, in other words, God's Word is inspired, It's inerrant. It's sufficient. It's clear. It's binding on our lives. We can trust the Word of God. And our theology should be driven, it should be formed by and shaped by the Word of God. Not the opposite. We just pray whatever we want, whenever we feel like. And so it's all about my feelings, what I think, what I feel. Sadly, that's an approach that we see too much in the church today. It's all about me. And so then we pray me-centered prayers. Well, this dishonors God. God has revealed himself in the Word of God. This is why the disciples asked about prayer, and they were given the Lord's Prayer, which we're going to talk about, so I don't want to get too much into that. We're going to spend a few weeks talking about that, maybe a little more. We'll see. But the point is, our theology coming from God's Word should drive our prayer lives. Put another way, we'll come at it from another direction. R.C. Sproul, in his book, Everyone is a Theologian, made it very clear that every single Christian is a theologian because every single person has theology. You may not be a quote-unquote professionally trained theologian. You may not have a seminary degree. But do you have a Bible? There you go. You're a theologian. And the point that R.C. Sproul is making is whether you're a good theologian or you're a bad theologian. If you have an open Bible and you can pray and you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you can rightly handle the Word of God. If you learn a few basic tools, like where we talked about those tools in the Reading Your Bible series. If you haven't, go back to that series. You can find it on our website, serviceofgrace.org, under the Warriors of Grace, under podcast, Service of Grace podcast. You can click on that on the homepage and find Warriors of Grace. And you can find that series. I encourage you to go back through that because you'll learn about how to rightly handle the Word of God. Or you can go to our magazine, Theology for Life, scroll down. There's an issue on hermeneutics, the art and science of biblical interpretation. Go there and you'll by the time you're done reading that, you'll have a better understanding of what to do about how to engage rightly the Word of God than you maybe ever had before. And you'll be given some resources at the end to further your studies so that you can continue to grow and develop and handling the Word of God. And by the way, here's a point as well. In Ephesians 4:15, God tells us that he gives us pastors and teachers, and that for the purpose of equipping the saints for the work of ministry. And 2 Timothy 2:15, that's in the context of Paul talking to Timothy, right? His young apprentice. And he tells Timothy to rightly handle the Word of God. So pastors and Bible teachers, bloggers, except podcasters, our job, the main aims of our ministry is to equip people to rightly handle the Word of God. And sadly, this is one of the areas where in the contemporary church, we have gone self-help direction. It's all about me. It's all about what I can say to God. But it matters what we say to God. God has clearly revealed himself in the Word of God. So we can know how we're to pray. That's why Jesus taught us how to pray. So that we would pray in accordance with and in a way that honors the Lord. Not just laying our petitions, but acknowledging his greatness, his majesty. That's another thing. We too often are concerned with just our petitions and our pleas. That we forget to tell God, to articulate to God in thanksgiving his awesomeness, his majesty, his beauty, his glory, his His infinite greatness, His unchanging love and character. We too often fail to take the theology of the Word of God and bring it to bear. Bring it to bear on our theology, on our prayer lives. And so that's why I'm saying in point three here, as men, our theology should drive our prayer lives, not our prayer lives, our theology. And the last point is, we've kind of hit on, the last point is this. We must pray according to Scripture. Scripture. As conservative, we, as Servants of Grace, which Warriors of Grace is a part of, I'm the executive director of Servants of Grace, we are a very conservative, Bible-believing ministry, rooted in the Reformed and evangelical traditions. And we believe that the Bible is to shape our lives. That it's not just what we believe about the Bible that matters, but that belief, those beliefs about the Bible should affect our lives. And the best teachers, in my estimation of this, are the Reformers and the Puritans. If you go and read them, you are going to be instructed so much on how our theology coming from God's Word should impact our lives. How do we face temptation? Well, go read John Bunyan's The Mortification of Sin. Or, you know, I mean, and on and on and on it goes. I mean, these men were physicians, were heart surgeons. What they sought to do is to take the good medicine that's in the Word of God and to take it and to apply it to our hearts, not just understanding what does the Bible mean, but then also to applying the Bible to our lives. And this is where we get into the area, the realm of application. And application is concerned with taking what the Bible says, what the Bible means, after we've understood what texts mean, and applying it to our lives. Now, too often, too many people today are suggesting that, well, you just leave it to the Spirit and you just, no. One of the jobs of those who preach and teach is to exegete, to explain, to rightly handle the Word of God because they believe the Word of God, and to help people understand this is what this means. This is what this looks like in our lives today. They help to bring us to bear, and the Holy Spirit takes the Word and He uses it to convict us, to show us the truth. That's why you must be, as we've talked about many, many times, you must be in a good local church that preaches the Word of God, the whole counsel of God, from Genesis to Revelation and everywhere in between. This is how you grow. You grow together with God's people. You grow with other men as you do life with other men, ironing, sharpening iron, even the butting of heads. In disagreement can help us to grow. It can help us to better understand our brother and where they're coming from. It might help us to have a better insight. It can help us with in our sanctification, our growth in Christ. But specifically where we're going in this series is understanding prayer means that we're going to understand it. Need to understand it, must understand it, I'll say, according to as it's described in the Bible. Because too often today, as I've already said, we're so focused on the self-help aspect of things or feeling good because I offered up a prayer for somebody. But did you pray according to the Bible? Did you pray according to the revealed will of God? You see, how we pray is a reflection of what we believe about the Bible. And what we believe about the Bible will ultimately either come to bear or not, especially on our prayer lives. In fact, it's been said, and I agree, that our prayer lives really reveal our theology. You want to know what somebody really believes about God, about Christ, about Scripture, about a whole host? Spend some time listening to them pray. And you'll know exactly what they think. This is why we should take great care how we pray. Because we're talking, we have infinite access, 24/7 access, as God's people. Hebrews 4:16 summons us before the throne of God's grace. That's one of the texts that we're going to look at. That's amazing, because in the Old Testament, they didn't have that. They didn't have it at all. One day a week, one day a year, the high priest would enter the most holy place. And he would have to be clothed in ritual garb and ceremonially clean to offer up sacrifice to God. And now, because Jesus says in John 19:30, it is finished, we have 24/7 access before the throne of God's grace. How are you doing at the big question that I want to put before you is, how are you doing in your prayer life? Beyond just talking to God about your problems, beyond just talking to Him about the needs and the concerns, the financial provision, how are you doing at enjoying your communion with God? And is it growing richer? Is it growing deep? Are you enjoying it? Or is it just another thing you're doing to check your check a box on? Are you just then walking through the motions of life? And the concern that I have, because of over a decade now of working with men in men's ministry in the local church and outside of it, the concern that I have is too many men that I've talked with over the years are just walking this walk of faith, and they're just walking it in their own power. And you know what? I'm just as guilty as you are of that. I have to be reminded as well. Why do I do that? Why do I walk in my own power? Why do I do that? The best answer I have to tell you is pride. You think that in and of yourself you are enough. And you're not. And you never will be. And until we come, and the more that we come to understand that we are not enough, the more that we will turn to God in prayer. And I'm not just talking about in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our hardship. That is also very important. But in all of life, all of life, not in just the hard seasons when your bank account, when there's not enough dollars and there's more months, but in the stuff of life, in the good and the bad, how are you doing and enjoying your communion with God? Do you even pray before you eat a meal? Do you pray before you get up? Do you thank the Lord for another day? Do you thank the Lord before you close your eyes for the day that you had, even if it was hard? Do you pause when you have something good to give thanks to the Lord? What is your impulse? Martin Lloyd-Jones is right. Take every opportunity, every impulse to pray. To pray. That's a biblical thing, as we'll talk about. It's 1 Thessalonians 5, where Paul tells us to pray at all times. Prayer should be as natural to us as breathing. And it's not about us just checking something off our list as if that could ever be enough. It's finding in God Him to be sufficient in and of Himself. We're talking about the God who made heaven and earth. We're talking about the God who upholds the world by the word of his power. We're talking about the king, our high priest, who even at this very moment is interceding for us as our high priest and advocate before the Father. We're talking about our God. How are you doing at enjoying the benefits, the privileges that are yours? Because Christ said in John 19:30, it is finished. How are you doing and enjoying the benefits of what Paul would say are yours because of you being in Christ, as he says in Romans 8:1? Therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 that we are new creations in Christ. In Colossians 3, he tells us that we're to put off the old man and put on the new man. This is our union with Christ. How are you doing and enjoying your union with Christ? And how are you doing and enjoying that union that you have in your prayer life? So that's some of where we're headed in this series. And I hope that you'll find it helpful. But also, I pray that if you're not doing well in this area, that you'll repent and realize that you know what? That you need to grow. That you need to humble yourself before the Lord, as the Lord requires you to do. You see, God has the right to tell you what to do. He's the creator, and he's the Lord. That's why Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5 that we're to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. That's why 1 Peter 5:7 tells us to cast all of our anxiety on the Lord. And before that, it tells us to humble ourselves. So, men, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Call on the Lord because of Christ. And cast yourself wholly upon the sufficient Christ. Well, I want to thank you for listening to this opening episode of our series, Prayer and the Sufficiency of Christ. I'm excited about this series, guys, and what the Lord will do in through it. And I hope that you'll find it to be helpful. Please encourage other guys that you know to listen to this podcast, to subscribe it, share these episodes. Until next week, may God bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to the Warriors of Grace podcast. If you enjoyed the show today, please subscribe, leave a rating on the app, and share our episode with your friends and family. If you want to, you can follow us on Instagram at Servants of Grace, on Twitter at Servants of Grace, or search Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find our show on the front page of the website servantsofgrace.org.